Well, hey everybody, welcome to MAC. A couple of years ago, a film crew from our church hit the streets of Charlotte to produce this person on the street video asking people one simple question. What comes to your mind when you hear the words, the Christmas story? What do you think of when you think of the Christmas story? You know what the number one answer was? The movie. The 1983, you'll shoot your eye out kid tale from 1940s Indiana, of a 9-year-old boy's desire for a Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle BB gun. That was the number one answer. In other words, a movie that had nothing to do with wise men or virgins, angels or mangers, much less God come to earth in the form of a baby. No, instead a story that was all about getting a present. And that is what Christmas has become for a lot of us. Presents. It's giving and getting, and it's buying and selling, and it's spending, and it's shopping. In fact, according to the annual survey conducted by the American Research Group, this just came out, the average consumer will spend this Christmas season in 2016 $929 on Christmas gifts alone. That's average. So half are going to spend even more than that. So forget about Clarence getting his wings. Now it's about kids getting their due. And heaven help you if they don't. You've seen the videos that, I think we actually showed it once here, that Jimmy Kimmel has done with kids and Halloween candy. He got parents to tell their kids the next morning that they ate all their Halloween candy and then tape the response and send it in. Well, a couple of years ago, he did it with Christmas presents. Take a look.
Last week, I issued a challenge. I asked the parents of America to pull a little holiday trick on their children. We did this on Halloween with candy and got a lot of response to it. So we did it again, this time for Christmas. I asked parents to tell their kids they were going to let them open one present a few weeks early. But instead of a good present, I said, put something the kids won't like in the box and then upload a video of that to YouTube labeled, "Hey Jimmy Kimmel, I gave my kids a terrible present." And a lot of people did do this, and they did give their kids terrible presents, and a lot of the kids, surprisingly, reacted poorly to that.
What'd you get, Charlie?
I don't like this.
Oh.
What is it?
An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting? What are you doing?
Pushing it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. A battery and an onion.
What's wrong?
I don't want an onion.
Did you smell your onion?
Yeah.
Here, smell it.
Oh, I smelled it. Egg.
Open it.
A hot dog.
What is that?
I got a girl activity book with stickers. I'm not a girl.
I'm not a boy.
I'm not a boy either.
This is the worst present ever.
What is this?
Marissa, what do you tell me all the time about my cooking?
I love it.
You love my cooking, so I made you something. So you don't want that peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I'll eat it. I'll eat it.
Open it up. You didn't want that for Christmas?
You stinking parents! Take this back.
Take it back where? This is yours.
I want a refund.
It's a half-eaten sandwich. Isn't that what you asked for?
No, I asked for a toy.
What did you say about Santa?
He put it on a naughty list.
Why?
Because you gave me a stupid Hello Kitty.
Houston. Some black beans, cheese, and a Waffle House hat. What's in there?
A bag of...
Oh, you got a Mr. Potato Head. They're from Santa.
They're not. Santa did not have those things. I saw you in the car in the garage. Those things were not from Santa Claus.
Are you upset?
Great-grandpa's camera.
I got ponies!
What's guys? What's wrong? You're not excited about your
cousins? I got ponies. I don't want ponies. They're for girls.
Guys,
is a stupid book.
We thought really hard about what to get you this year.
Well, you didn't do a very good job. It's the worst Christmas I ever had.
Not exactly appealing. But why did the kids react that way? It's because we have made Christmas all about what we get. And that's what I want to explore in this last installment of our series, How to Keep Christ in Christmas. We're going to talk today about how do you keep Christ in all of the giving, all of the materialism, making it all about us and what we get or spend or buy. Well, to get a handle on that, I want to start off by going back to how all this gift-giving got started and tied to Christmas to begin with. Because in all fairness, it is rooted in the biblical Christmas story. There was a group of people at the center of the first Christmas gift-giving. We know them as the wise men or the magi. And so let me read their story from the biography of Jesus in the Bible written by Matthew. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. Now, let's stop there. Who exactly were the Magi? Now, tradition says they were three kings. You probably have heard the old Christmas carol, we three kings from Orient are. True story. When I was a kid and I heard that song, when I first heard that song, I always thought, what a strange place to be from. Not Orient A or Orient B or Orient Q, but Orient R, which tells you how bright I was. Actually, the Bible doesn't use the word king. It uses the word magi, and it doesn't even say anything about there being three of them. We don't know how many that there were. The Bible doesn't tell us. Could have been 33. What we do know is what magi were. They were scholars. They were intellectuals who are more like modern-day astronomers. They were men who, as part of their intellectual pursuits, had studied the ancient scriptures and through them knew that a Messiah, a Savior, a King was prophesied who would come to change all of human history. And then they studied the heavens because the scriptures also said that his coming would be marked by this tremendous event in the sky, tremendous event in the heavens, specifically the coming of a star that would mark the time and place of his birth. And then, to their amazement, it all began to unfold and happen in their lifetime. So these people left their homeland in search of the wonders and the answers they hoped it would hold for their life. And as they followed it, the star led them to a child from a terribly poor family who was lying in a manger. Now, what did they do then? Well, let's keep reading. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Well, there you have it. First Christmas gifts. And from that time forward, Christmas has been marked by the giving of gifts. But let's dig a little deeper than that. Did you notice who they gave the gifts to? They didn't give them to each other. They gave them to the child. They gave the gifts to Jesus. And they gave two gifts in particular. First, they gave the gift of worship. Now, for some of you, just the gift of worship, that's a strange idea. That's an awkward word. It almost makes you uncomfortable. You're not quite sure what it is, what it means, what it entails. So let's de-weird it a little bit. The word worship actually comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, worth-ship. Literally, it would read worth-ship. So it was all about giving worth to someone or something, giving honor and respect to someone or something. And you can do that in a lot of ways, but the heart of it is simple. Bend the knee of your heart. And for the wise men, it was the most natural thing in the world to do when they came face to face with Jesus. And I think it would be for us too. I mean, I've often thought about it this way. You know, there's a lot of people who could walk into an auditorium like this, and we might actually rise in honor or applaud them as they entered. You know, maybe a hero from a war or something like that. There's only one person who would cause us to fall to our knees, at least if we realized who he was. And the wise men did. But second, the Bible says that they gave tangible gifts. They gave the gift of worship. They also gave tangible gifts of great, even sacrificial cost. Specifically gold, incense, and traditionally the incense was frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it's easy to let that slide by because we don't exactly get into frankincense these days. But let's go back in time. Frankincense, along with myrrh, was used for making incense and perfume. Myrrh was also used by the Egyptians for their embalming process, and it was a very important medicine for sores and wounds as well. It's actually still used today in mouthwash and in toothpaste and in certain makeup. And of course, gold is still one of the most prized commodities of our day. It used to be the foundation of our entire monetary system, but it's still going, I checked it, it's still going right now for over $1,000 an ounce. These were not small gifts, nor should they have been. They would have been absolutely unthinkable to acknowledge the child as king, to acknowledge the babe in the manger as the savior of the world, as God come to earth and not react in a tangible and worthy manner. So the heart of Christmas giving is the giving of honor to Christ and the giving of gifts to Christ. But see, that's exactly what's gotten so out of whack. We do not honor Christ at Christmas, and we certainly don't give him anything tangible. In fact, we've stopped giving anything to Jesus and made it all about giving to each other or to ourselves. So, how can we keep Christ in our Christmas giving? Well, a lot of you are first-generation Christians. You were not raised in a Christian home that kept Christ in Christmas or modeled anything other than maybe raw materialism. A lot of you just are kind of clueless, like many of us were, like I was for so long, about how do you actually do this? So let me just kind of, as I've done throughout this series, kind of open up the window a little bit to our family and give you four ways that were very significant in our family, as Susan and I have reflected back on it, that we feel were absolutely strategic to keeping Christ in our Christmas giving. So let me just tell you what we did. First, teach your children how to give gifts at Christmas and not just get them. And we did this in a simple way. First, we worked to get them as excited as we possibly could about what they were going to give as much as what they were going to get from people. We would talk about what we're giving and get them caught up in the surprise of it and the fun of it. And then we would help them earn little bits of money so that they would have some skin in the game and actually have to purchase the presents that they give. So we'd give them extra little jobs around the house so that they could earn money. And then we had our big shopping day. We would go to the dollar store. And the fun thing about kids in a dollar store is that we would go in there and say, you can pick out anything you want. Get your basket, and remember, you're getting a present for, you know, for Nana and Papa and Grandma and Granddad and your sister and your brothers. And, you know, so they would have their little list. They'd have their little bit of money they earned, and they would go shopping at the dollar store, and they could get anything that they want because it was only a dollar. And then they would wrap it up and put it under the tree. Folks, that simple process, that simple little exercise turned Christmas around for our kids. They had so much fun in giving. And it made our Christmas Eve interesting because the presents they picked out at the dollar store were memorable. I've gotten sombreros, foot deodorizers. My favorite was a push-up bra. And then as the years went by, see, this was what was so fun. We kept it up all the way through their teenage years. We kept giving each other dollar store presents on Christmas Eve because it was the giving that was fun. Not the cost of the things themselves. A second thing that we did was to make sure that we gave of ourselves. A second way that we kept the giving part of Christ to Christmas was we gave of ourselves, our time, our energy, our presence, our compassion. We did this as a family, but you can do it as a single person or a couple. It doesn't matter. But let me give honor where honor is certainly due. Susan has been the ringleader in our family for this, and it's been so powerful. I remember when we first got married, on our very first Christmas, we were separated from family. I think between us, we were working three or four jobs, and we couldn't go home on Christmas Day, we couldn't get there because we were working Christmas Eve, and we had to work the 26th, and so on Christmas Day, it was just us. And the first time either one of us had ever been away from home on Christmas, we'd only been married a couple, 3 months, I wanted to go to a movie on Christmas Day. Susan said, "Oh, let's bake cookies and take them to people." And I remember with my tender-hearted, sensitive personality, I said, "Why would we do that?" And she hit me. And she said, "Because it's Christmas." And I said, okay. So we made cookies and went out to some people that she knew who were elderly and were shut-ins and or just alone. We made probably 5 or 6 stops, and it was just magical. It was just a great Christmas. And that never ended for us. Later on, Susan led the kids to visit nursing homes. We haven't talked about that much. We talk about it a little bit more now because it's a season that's over for us. But it was a private thing for us at the time as a family. But our kids would be at the nursing home almost every week. And this went on for years, just visiting the people there. Many of whom did not have family, or if they did, they weren't visited as often as they would have obviously liked. So we went, so much so that our kids got to know those dear saints by name. And at Christmas, they would go caroling to each resident's room, make Christmas crafts, bake them cookies, put on little Christmas plays. They did it so much that one year, the resident surprised them and threw our kids a party. And it just puts serving in our kids' DNA. And I've seen it carry on in their lives. My oldest daughter serves on the children's ministry staff of a church where they live, but she gives a morning a week to work in the schools with at-risk children. My youngest daughter and her husband are also in full-time vocational Christian ministry, but she's led her kids now to visiting nursing homes. My wife, Susan, and my son Jonathan go together every week to be with their lunch buddies through a child's place, our partner that serves homeless children, and on it goes. One of our visions for family was to be a serving family. And you can lead your family that way too. And one of the things that I love about Met Kids is that it's so partnering with families to get stuff like this into family DNA, like serving. And they put together one of the coolest things ever. If you haven't seen this, oh my gosh. It's called A Passport to Missions. It's a passport to serving around the world and here in Charlotte. And it's a guide for parents and kids with 17 specific serving opportunities that serve people here and around the world. And what's fun is that as the child does each one of these serving things, they can come to Met Kids, and if they have a parent with them that says, yes, they did this, they can get a stamp in their passport book. And if they get enough stamps, they get a special T-shirt. If they do all 17 in the passport, they get a gift certificate. I think it's to the grounds or something. And let me give you a taste of what's in here. Visit a nursing home or an assisted living home. Participate in one of our food drives. Prepare and give a care kit for a homeless person. Write cards to children at our orphanage that we support in Argentina. Stuff a backpack for a homeless child. Create a snack pack for a homeless child, and on it goes. And all of the details on how to do it, when to do it, the ways to do it, they're all in this passport little book. And many of them are built into existing serve days here at MEC. And see, it's not just about leading kids to do this, it's about leading yourself. We've got so many opportunities here to serve, it's not even funny. We actually create serve days here with our local mission partners, and there's so many every single month where you can go and sort clothes for the working poor, or you can stock a food pantry, you can build a home for homeless people. Mission trips you can take to areas where the poorest of the poor live and need to be served. We have volunteer opportunities here built around the services to work with children or greet guests. There's just no end to the opportunity to put giving ahead of getting in your life, your family's life, and your child's life. So here's a third thing that we've done. We made the giving fund with stuff like the dollar store, and we gave serving part of our DNA to others. Third thing that we did, we made sure that whatever we were going to give to friends or family or ourselves of a monetary or gift nature, that it would always be secondary to what we were going to give collectively to Jesus. We just made it very clear, we're going to start our gift giving with Jesus and then do other gift giving. And it was always going to be above and beyond our regular level of giving. We were going to give a special above and beyond gift to Christ at Christmas. And it was because it was his birthday, and we were going to give a birthday gift. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we even would get a birthday cake out on Christmas and so forth. And the Bible is very specific about how do you give a birthday gift to Jesus. Jesus said that when we give to those in need, those who are poor or who are sick or who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are homeless, who do not have proper clothing, those in spiritual need who have not heard about the message of Christ, those who are in relational poverty, the widow, the orphan, when we give though there and to those people, we are giving to him. And let me read his words. When did we give you something to eat or drink? The people said to Jesus. When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you sick? Jesus answered, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. Whenever you failed to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you failed to do it for me. And that's what our church's Giving to Christ at Christmas effort is all about. That's why we started it. From the very beginning of the church, we have given to the poor and the needy in our community. We have developed ministry teams to build homes for the homeless. Through our food drives, we provide food for those who would face hunger or malnutrition. We've sent teams around the world to serve at points of greatest need. But one of the most significant things that we've done is what is often the hardest to give, but what is often the most strategic. Money, our money. And let me read what the Bible says about this. It says, tell people to use their money to do good. They should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven for eternity. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. As you heard Lex in the video say earlier, Mech's Giving to Christ at Christmas has been an effort in full force since 1994. We started the church in 1992, so this was like within 18 months or so, less than 2 years after we started getting this into our church's DNA, and the idea was so simple. We give gifts at Christmas in celebration and honor of the birthday of Jesus. Let's begin our gift giving with him. And so every Christmas, as a church, we give the most generous one-time cash gift we can above and beyond our normal giving as a direct gift to Christ himself at Christmas. And then that money is used strategically for things that reflect the heart and mission of Christ. And the cause of Christ has always had, as I've mentioned, three main components: the poor, those in crisis or immediate need, specifically the Bible highlights widows, orphans, and fellow Christ followers who might be in crisis. And then third, the church's mission to tell other people about Jesus. And that's why our Giving to Christ at Christmas effort has always had all three represented. And, I think I'll just be honest with you, that one of the reasons why as a pastor I've always like trumpeted this is because I get so frustrated that we're all hit on like crazy to give to just about anything and everything this time of year. And that's because of the giving DNA of Christmas, and that part's good. But what's not good is that so much of the giving is to anything but the mission of Jesus. And so that's why, you know, as a father of in my family and as the pastor of this church, I just drove a stake in the ground and said, no, this is insanity. Let's start with Jesus. And it's just done so much. I loved how Lex was kind of reflecting on all that it's done, and I can obviously go back even further than her memory. when we supported AIDS orphans and vulnerable children in Africa and still do, prevented evictions and power cutoffs among the working poor here in Charlotte, particularly single-parent moms with young children and the elderly. Built halfway houses for young girls rescued from human trafficking, the orphanage we built in Argentina, sending medical teams to Guatemala, working with a children's home in Iredale County, on and on and on it goes. This year, our Christmas gift will continue to meet all of those needs, supporting our Missions 2.0 partners here and around the world, as well as a special gift to a sister church in Lumberton that was devastated by Hurricane Matthew in one of the poorest areas of our state. And they're the oldest African-American church in the state, in the poorest county of the state. And despite all that they've been doing is trying to serve other people around them. Well, we're going to come and be an angel in their corner. Well, the Bible is just so clear to act in areas like this. Let me just give you a handful of its words as an encouragement about why this is so important. In the great wisdom book of the Bible, Proverbs, it says, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered." Again in Proverbs, "He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses." In the New Testament book of James, it says, "Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles." And in the biography of Jesus, written by the historian Luke, these words of Jesus are recorded. He said, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So modeling that to our kids has done more to bring Christ into Christmas than almost anything else we've done. And to this day, we now see them giving to Christ first and leading their kids that way, and so do we. And we'll do it again this year. Our first and best gift will go to our Giving to Christ at Christmas effort, not in place of our regular giving, but on top of it, the way a Christmas gift should be. And while it can be a sacrifice, more than anything, it's a privilege. Reminds me of a family that made a similar commitment to support several poor children in Haiti, above and beyond their commitment of they were giving well over 10% of their income to their local church. And on top of that, through their church, they were supporting these kids in Haiti. And it meant sacrifice. And their children had to forego some of the things that their friends took for granted. They rode secondhand bicycles. Sometimes their Christmas presents weren't the latest and most expensive available. Well, one Christmas, this man took his family to Haiti to see what their giving had done and to meet the five children that their sacrifice had cared and provided for. And they got there a little later in the day than they had intended to, as after lunch, and they met the children standing in front of the school building, and they found out that these kids had been standing there since almost dawn because they were so eager to meet this family that had done so much for them and who would love them so much with their gifts. And as soon as their Jeep stopped, these five children raced to the Jeep and began to embrace and cry and weep with joy and gratitude. And they spent the whole day with those kids. And after a day like they'd never had before, this American family got back into their Jeep and they headed home. And on their way to Port-au-Prince, the capital city of Haiti, the two American children sat in silence the whole way. Didn't say a word. And the father finally asked what was wrong. And the daughter said, "Oh, nothing's wrong, Dad. I was just thinking that there is nothing we could have done with our money over the last 10 years that would have made us happier than we are right now. Nothing." And I'm not surprised that they felt that way. Keeping Christ in Christmas is what makes Christmas everything we long for it to be. So let's recap. We make sure we know that our kids knew how to give gifts, not just get them. We made sure that we put serving others front and center, and we made sure that our gift giving started with Jesus. And I told you there was a fourth thing. Fourth thing was we made sure that we took advantage of Christmas to give the greatest gift of all, Jesus himself. And we did that by doing everything we could as a family to invite our friends and neighbors and others to come to one of our Christmas Eve services. We would talk about who we were inviting and talk about how we were going to do the inviting, and we would always have a stack of invite tools there that we would use, like the poppers this year, and we would pray for who we had invited. And the kids would get so excited about, you know, and there's something so disarming because a little 5-year-old or an 8-year-old goes up to an adult that they know, maybe a teacher or someone at a store, or and they just say, here, I want to invite you to my church. And you want to see an adult who would never consider attending a church melt. A little 8-year-old invites them. It's incredible. Anyway, but we knew, and we would tell the kids, that people would come to a Christmas Eve service more readily than just about any other service of the year. And we would say that Christmas giving wasn't just about a hand giving out food and water, shelter, or clothing, but it was a hand that was also holding out the message of Christ for the deepest needs of a life, which is having Christ as their leader and forever friend. Because more than anything, Christmas is all about the coming of God to planet Earth in the person of Jesus. You know, and we would say he came for you, and he came for your friends and family and our neighbors, and Christmas is about God making himself known, which is why the heart of Christmas is always about continuing on in that mission to make the announcement of Christ, the proclamation of Christ, to convey the message of Christ as loudly as we can. Because that's why he came. That's why there was a babe in the manger, and why at his birth an angel ripped open the sky and burst out with those words that now are just legendary that were recorded in the book of Luke. He said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior has been born to you. That's the headline. A Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And then, of course, an entire host of angels filled the sky and erupted in praise for the living God, crying out, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. It was as if they were saying to all that would hear, do you realize who has come to you? Do you realize the gift that you have been given? The one we've been worshiping in the glory of heaven is now here among you in the flesh. Do you realize the favor of God that rests on you? You know, one of the most powerful questions to ask ourselves of others is, do they even know it's Christmas? Throughout Mex history, we've asked this question of the poor, we've asked it of those lying in the wake of crises, we've asked it of the lonely, and we've looked at what it has meant to give Christ to them in very tangible ways. But the question is asked most deeply in relation to people's eternities. Do they know that a babe in the manger has come? Who that child is? Why he came? What he said? How he lived? What it means for their life? And that's why nothing matters more than fulfilling the mission that Christ set in motion. Telling them. So, you want to keep Christ in your Christmas giving? Those are 4 big ways that I think will revolutionize it. All right, well, let's stand for a closing prayer. If you'd like more information on our Giving to Christ at Christmas effort, you can stop by any Connection Center and you can pick up that information and find out how to participate. If you want to pick up some invite poppers to give to your friends or people you know, they're going to be, again, at all the exits, and you can get them at just all over the place. Guest services, people have them, Connection Centers, big contact tables. You can grab as many of those as you'll give away. These little passports, I gave Met Kids a heads up that there might be a run on them, and I hope that there is. So please make sure that if you want to get a passport like this and learn about it, they're back in the Met Kids areas. And of course, as we get ready to invite all of our friends to these Christmas Eve services that start on Wednesday, here at North Charlotte, and then throughout our other campuses later on in the week as well. Please go get your tickets and pick the one that is best for you and your family, and strongly consider not just attending one, but also serving one. That would be so, so, so helpful, particularly on Christmas Eve. So enough said on that. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for how powerful it can be for us when we keep you in our Christmas through our giving. We're not losing anything. We're gaining so much. And so I pray that we would take seriously how your scriptures point us toward that and how we can make Christmas so much deeper, so much more meaningful, so much more authentic for our own lives. And so I pray that in some small way, what we talked about here, will prompt and encourage and serve people along those lines. I pray that in Jesus' name.